So now we are in the final segment of Habakkuk chapter 3, 16 to 19. And we are, as you know, this book is categorized as the book of the minor prophets. Minor, not because of this prophet Habakkuk is of a younger age than the major prophets like Jeremiah or Isaiah. It is categorized as minor because of the content. You see that most of the minor prophets, particularly in the last few books of the Old Testament, are usually shorter in content. Whereas when we say major prophets are those books that refer to, for example, the book of Jeremiah, the book of Isaiah. So here, the prophet Habakkuk, while in his prayer of praise to the Lord, he saw a vision that the Lord gave to him. He saw the vision of God's coming judgment drawing nearer and nearer upon the land of Judah, upon the wicked. And as you can recall, Habakkuk began in a state of confusion because he could not understand why this God, whom he knows is holy and just, is using instrument of wickedness, of evil, to carry out God's holy purpose. And so in this vision, and of course we know that in chapter 1 he was in that confusion, and then in chapter 2 God gave him the answer in his grace. Not that God is obligated to answer him. And so here, in this third chapter, he was a changed man. His understanding right now, in some sense, clearer, though not completely. And so this amazing display of God's power through judgment left this prophet speechless, in awe, as he saw things that are coming. Habakkuk had asked for a revival in verse 2. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. So the Lord answered his prayer. But little did he realize what God would show him, what God would do. But God, in his mercy, gave him this vision so that he can understand a little clearer of what God is going to do and how God is going to fulfill his purpose. And so in this concluding, in the concluding verses of this book, the prophet continued to record his response. And the subject I'd like to consider with you in this final portion is contentment in the Lord. Okay, we can also name it as commitment to the Lord. So the first response or the first reaction of Habakkuk at the display of God's power, you see in verse 16, when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones, and I tremble in myself. The first reaction was reverential fear. Not a slavish fear, not a fear of punishment, but a very respectful fear of God. The prophet acknowledged that he had heard what God was communicating through him, through the vision, and he understood it. Earlier on, he was eager to present his complaint to God. Now, he is in a different state of emotion. Here we see the prophet, while praying and given this vision, he was physically traumatized, physically shaken and moved by the reception of the divine revelation. However, notice there in the second part of verse 16, that I might rest in the day of trouble. Yes, in a state of reverential fear. However, he manifests a spirit of faith, a spirit of trust, a spirit of rest upon this God, though he may not be or have a full comprehension of the will of God, the purpose of God. But yet right now, he found rest. He was strengthened in his faith, and this came out of a deep spiritual encounter with God through his time of prayer. And how much, brethren, we need that, isn't it? And therefore, may I suggest to all of us, in our private devotion, in your quiet time, so to speak, as we normally call it, pray. Be serious about it. Don't rush through the reading of God's Word. Set aside that time. Whatever time you have to arrange for yourself. Especially those of us with children, you have to decide how you want to organize the lives of your children and your own life so that you can spend time. And normally, as I said, and as we see here in this experience, this spiritual experience of Habakkuk, and in fact in the lives of many of God's people, it is when we seriously set aside time and be still and in prayer and in the meditation of God's Word that we can have this spiritual experience. This sense of awe, this sense of quietness, this sense of rest, even in the midst of all our troubles. Yes, although there was a sense of dread, but he, at this time, yet he was no longer afraid. It was not a slavish fear, a fear of death, but that I might rest in the day of trouble. And so, brethren, you and I can likewise, like Habakkuk, experience peace and joy and rest in the midst of trouble, if you would by faith humble yourself and be quiet and be silent and to wait upon the Lord. And the word wait, which we often use in the original text, it actually means hope in God or trust in God. And so let us learn that the Lord, and surely the Lord will indeed, as we humble ourselves and be willing to surrender and to submit to His will, He will indeed come to us and give us that rest, give us that peace that is only found in our Lord Jesus Christ. Habakkuk's encounter with God has a profound impact not only upon his physical, but also upon his mind and upon his soul, spiritually. His body trembled, as I said, his lips quivered at the thunderous voice of God, and then thirdly, he felt that his bones were rotting away within him. That is, his whole being, he found no strength to hold himself up. Habakkuk was deeply distressed indeed. Distressed, why? because he saw in the vision of that destruction that is coming upon God's people, as we have considered the last time. Not only the wicked will be affected or judged, nature, even nature, the plants and all the other animals will also be affected by the judgment of God. And so the enemy was coming, the day of trouble is coming when the Chaldeans would invade. But Habakkuk received grace, and he was enabled by the Spirit of God to meet or to expect this coming trouble or devastation with a quiet dignity and confidence. He had learned to be content with God's will. He no longer struggled with it. He no longer wants to complain. Yes, he is not able to understand it fully, but now he is willing to be content, to keep quiet and let God be God and let God do what pleases him, even though through the means of wickedness, through something that is bad in the eyes of human beings, fallen beings, we look at it that how can God use something bad and wicked to accomplish his holy purposes, particularly for the lives of his people. But here Habakkuk understood, and therefore he is content with God's will, with God's way, though he could not fully comprehend it. Habakkuk understands that God would ultimately crush all of Satan's plan and all of Satan's work, and all of Satan's agent will be destroyed. And this is to teach us, the believers, from here, to maintain our faith, even in the face of the triumph or the victory of the wicked over us. So when trouble comes to you, when you are under attack, so to speak, not physically, spiritually, when those around you hated you, malign you, do all sorts of evil against you, or to your family, and they are having the upper hand, and it seems that you are on the losing end, remember this. Recall this chapter. Recall Habakkuk's experience to learn from him and to pray that God will maintain your faith, that God will keep you steadfast, unmovable, that you will not give up, that you will not despair, and that you will learn to be content with whatever God's will may be for your life, or for the life of your children, for your life of your family members. Remember, everything is still in the sovereign hand of God. He is not asleep. He knows what he is doing. You and I indeed can, as God's people, be still and to know that thou art God. And so meanwhile, as this is coming, yes, the evil one may overcome us for a short while. We may be, in that sense, defeated for a time, temporarily. But deliverance was certain, and it will come only after the judgment, for the case here, in this context, for Habakkuk. Meanwhile for us, let us exercise faith. Yes, we confess, and we must acknowledge that we are people of little faith. And that is why Jesus said, pray that the Lord will increase our faith, pray that the Lord will increase our hope and our trust in Him. These things don't come by automatically, brethren. You don't expect the Holy Spirit like a flip of a finger and then you have it. It must be seek. That's why Jesus teaches us what? Ask and you shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. This is teaching us importunate prayer. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep praying and be willing to wait upon the Lord. Ask the Lord to increase your patience to wait. Because God is not our vending machine where you decide. He is not our vending machine. And so therefore, in your prayer, I tell you, this is the secret. Actually, it's no secret. When you pray, whatever your hearts may desire, that is according to God's will, of course, you must be willing to submit and tell God, yes, Lord, I desire this. But if you say otherwise, I am willing to accept what you decide for me. Because I know that what you decide for me is always good. Even though I may not understand it, even though I may not comprehend it, but give me that faith to trust that whatever you decide for me, that is opposite of what I like, what I think is good for myself, nevertheless, I will accept it. And I can assure you, more often than not, it is just a test. And the Lord will exactly give you what you desire in your heart. And now we move on to the second response. And right now in verse 17, you can see that Habakkuk right now is anticipating that adversity to come. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail. All this described to us severe and terrible devastation that will come upon Judah as a result of the Babylonian invasion. The prophet is not contemplating a mere hypothetical situation or possibility. He recognized the reality of that destruction that is coming, that is real. This vision is not just like a dream. No, it is real. And so, he described to us right now, through this fig trees, the vineyards, the olive groves and the grapes, all this will be gone. It is a state of famine. No food for the people. And I want us to remember this. As God brings this judgment upon Judah, for the chastisement of God's people for their unbelief or for their rebellion and their rejection of God, and also punishing those unbelievers. Remember, God did not take His people out. And same for Habakkuk. He will be going through the same situation of God's, or facing God's wrath together with the rest of them. Remember again our study of Joshua and Caleb, the two spies who believe in God and trust in God. God did not spare them the 40 years of wilderness journey together with the rebellion, or the rebels, sorry, of the Israelites. We would expect, isn't it? Okay, Habakkuk is so faithful, Joshua is so faithful, Caleb is so faithful, following the Lord. So therefore they will be spared, therefore they will be spared. Immediately God will reward them. Nope. What are your thoughts? How do you deal with that? Why? So there is a delay, isn't it? A delayed blessing upon Joshua, upon Caleb, and even upon Habakkuk, and upon those. And this is how God works. And so, brethren, we must need to ask the Lord for help, because this is not easy to go through. It goes against our normal logical thinking in it, isn't it? I am faithful to the Lord. The Lord should immediately deliver me. And then now I have to together with all these rebels and suffer. Well, let us learn to trust the Lord and walk by faith and not by sight. And so Habakkuk right now imagine before him the possible scenario. He supplies us a picture of absolute ruin and abject famine. However, the prophet was not in despair. Though he together with his countrymen will suffer, he, though a prophet, will not be spared. He will be going through with the rest of them in that judgment. Yet he was prepared to trust God. He realized that inner peace with God, inner peace from God, does not depend on outward prosperity or favorable circumstances. I am happy because I have money for my shopping, therefore I am happy with the Lord. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, the Lord is blessing me. Oh, today I have no money. I am sick and I'm unwell. Therefore, I'm not happy with the Lord because the Lord is not blessing me. No, not for Habakkuk. Not for God's people who truly know and trust in His God. Notice that in verse 17, the word there, although. And then right now, you look at verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will join in the God of my salvation. Brethren, can you and I say that? Although I am, you name it, whatever your situation may be, although my children are rebellious, although I'm out of job, although I'm retrenched, although I'm having cancer, although I am maligned by people, although I'm hurt by my family members and loved ones, although my bosses or my colleague treated me badly, although, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Let us be very real about this, brethren and friends. This can only be the experience of those who are in Christ. It is not for the non-believer. A non-believer can never, never understand this, can never, never experience that. Only a believer, as he or she humbles himself and seeks the Lord, and goes into a state of prayer, of seeking to understand the mind of God, only then that the Holy Spirit will come to attend to us and to give us that yet, or enable us to echo with Habakkuk, yet I will. Otherwise, it is impossible. It is impossible. And so therefore, those of us who are in Christ, may I encourage you, brethren, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. In your moment of perplexity and confusion, in your moment as you see all this situation in your family or in your working life, in your place of study, in your place of work, all these troubles, learn to put your sight, turn away from this and focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we come to the final response. And this is where we see Habakkuk rejoicing. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet.
He will make me walk upon my high places. Habakkuk could accept the coming judgment now that he has seen the ultimate manifestation of God's justice. Yet, even though all the material comforts are all gone, removed, as we see in verse 17, but as long as he had life in his body, Habakkuk rejoiced. Rejoice in the Lord. He did not state that he would merely endure in the hour of distress. He said he would rejoice in the Lord, and the literal translation there is, be joyful. Can it be? Is it possible? And brethren, you know better. Those of us who are in Christ. Only the Christian can have that. Can do that. Can experience that. To be joyful in the midst of pain and sorrow. Why is this possible? It is only possible for a true believer, as I said. And the reason is because Habakkuk's joy was in the person of God. In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. A believer's joy is not dependent upon what God will bless you. The material, I mean. The Christian joy rests in the person. And so therefore, you see, many a times, if you think of it very carefully, why do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or why do you want to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Oh, because He gave me eternal life, and after that He blessed me, helped me in my study, I score A, and then after that my family, I have all the blessing of a car, a house. What if God said, I will save you and give you eternal life so that you will be with me in heaven, but meanwhile, as you go on in this life, you take care of yourself. Physical, you are promised eternal life. That's it. Will you still believe in God? Will you still want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? Think about it. Many a times, isn't it? I believe or I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior because I can get something out of Him. Especially the physical. And that is why you see many flopping to all these churches, because the preacher will tell them, oh, God will bless you. Don't worry. Things will be fine. You know, you will have your job, you will have your promotion. Don't worry, money will come down. You see, the Bible says, God will open heaven's window and pour forth His blessing. Oh, wow. Really? And so, here you see. But, of course, we know that God is merciful. Besides giving us eternal life, He promised to provide for all our needs, our physical or our temporal needs in this life. He will. He will. David said, what? I have not sinned the righteous, but beg for food. God will indeed provide for all that we needed in this life. All our temporal needs. Not all you want, but all your temporal needs. So God is the inexhaustible source and infinite supply of our joy for the believers. Only He can give us that true joy, that true satisfaction, that true contentment. If we do not put our trust and our rest in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will always have this puzzle in your life, brethren. You will always have this tension in your life. Why this? Why that?
how come? Why I do not have this? Why I do not have that? How come it doesn't go my way? You will always have this. It is learning to be content. It is learning to surrender and to submit to the will of God. There are far too many people trying to buy joy or trying all means to get joy. Whatever the means may be. But true joy, true happiness is not found in circumstances, is not found in material things, is not found even in people, is not found in our relationship, not even in our relationship with our family members and loved ones or even your spouse. Joy in the Lord is available to everyone, even to those who strip of every material possession. For this kind of joy is to be found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes from or through an intimate and personal experiential relationship with Christ, so that even those in the worst circumstances can rejoice with joy unspeakable, says the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1:18. And that is why Habakkuk called God or the Lord Yahweh the God of my salvation in verse 19. He could rejoice in the person of the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, because he understood that ultimately the Lord would accomplish, would fulfill his purpose for his people, for the good of his people, and for the glory of his own name. God can never lie. God can never do things that are, so to speak, bad. In our eyes, it may be bad. We define it as bad. We don't like it. It's unpleasant. We don't deny that. But yet, in the sight of God, it is always good because He is a good God. He could deliver the faithful from their oppressor. He could restore the prosperity of His people, which we see in the life of Job, isn't it? The Lord rewarded Job double, twice, or what he had before, after the trials, after the affliction. Is it not true? Is this not true in your life, brethren? How the Lord restored you, how the Lord helped you, how the Lord not only delivered you from your trouble, and then further add to it blessing upon blessing. Is that not true? And therefore, can you not trust God in your future? The concept of salvation in the Old Testament included, we don't deny that, it included material well-being or material blessing, as well as new spiritual relationship with the Lord Jesus. Verse 19 is the unfailing source, here we are told, the unfailing source of strength and confidence necessary to satisfaction and contentment in the sovereign God. And the strength of the Lord is given to us, as described here, like hinds' feet. God is going to empower us by His Holy Spirit to move joyfully through difficult circumstances. If only you and I are willing to humbly seek after Him. You do not expect God to automatically do that for you. He desires His children to humble themselves, to come before Him, to ask of that in your days of trouble. Don't think that, well, God is God, right? He is powerful, He is all-knowing. So right now, I'm going through my trouble. He should immediately come and deliver me and help me, or give me peace and joy and strengthen me. You mean I have to pray? Yes. Yes. It shows what? It shows your heart. It shows that whether you are humble enough to seek the Lord. It shows your sincerity, you see. You know, someone asked me a question. Why is it that God, who knows all our needs, still wants us to pray? You know the answer. Because God desires to see our heart, the intent of the heart.
you see. And so, furthermore, God enabled the prophet to walk on high places here. It means that God is going to enable his people to overcome all the obstacles and the challenges. He would enable them to finally experience that so-called mountaintop experience. The triumph, the victory over all their troubles, over all their difficulties and challenges. And the revelation of that ultimate victory will enable us as God's people to live for Christ and to live for His glory. And so, brethren, in summary, in our study of this book, you see how God brought this prophet from the state of confusion and then to the state of rest and peace when he humbles himself and seeks the Lord, and then the Lord revealed to him. And so the prophet right now finally is able to be in that state of quietness and rest as he sees all these troubles coming, or as he sees the judgment coming, as he sees the devastation coming. And same for us, as we see that the society right now is going down further and further in moral and spiritual decline and apostasy, as we see all this, we can still be at rest, be at peace in our hearts, and have that joy of the Lord, because our God is fulfilling His purpose for our good, for His own glory. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we praise and thank Thee for this very brief study that we had on the book of Habakkuk. Yes, Lord, we confess that oftentimes we are so easily taken by the many circumstances and situations in our lives that we are so easily and quickly tossed about, shaken, and weakened as we look at all these various challenges in our lives, forgetting that we have such a God who is holy and just, a God who is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient, a God who does not sleep and does not need to sleep, a God who watches over us, His children, every moment of our lives. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that You will give us faith to turn unto Thee, particularly in times of trouble, in times of sorrow and pain, in times of difficulties and challenges, in times of affliction and trials, in times of sickness, that we may learn to turn to Thee and set our eyes upon the Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, only give us the faith and the trust in Thee. Help us in our unbelief. Oh Lord, give us that enabling of Your Holy Spirit to be quiet, to learn to be patient, to wait upon Thee, and to be content and satisfied with what You have in store for us, for our lives, and for the lives of our children, for the lives of our family members and loved ones also. So help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.